Well, we are in a series here called the Worship Series, and what we are doing is kind of a reverse. A lot of times songs that you hear are based upon scriptures and or sermons, and we're kind of flipping around. We're looking at songs and seeing what sermons or messages can be extracted from those songs. And we've had each week is a different worship team member that you get to know a little bit, and we take a song that they have found value in or something that speaks to them, and we perform the song for you, and then we kind of dig into that song or that message. I'm grateful that today of the few team members that we have left here today, that it worked out that the one who is the guest today was able to be here today, not traveling to other places or ill or anything like that. So if you would you welcome Jess to the stage here this morning?
Now, amazingly enough, there is always a little intimidation that I have with Jess. She's my sister-in-law, so Emily's older sister, you know. And so there's always, I don't know if you saw that, she had a little eyebrow raise there, you know. That was a warning. It spoke volumes to me for a second. Be careful, Mr. Buck, of what you say, you know, because it can come back. Yeah, hi, good morning. Yeah. So, yeah, this is Jessica Orff. You've been a part of Grace since its founding a few years ago, and you've been a part of music for a while, both in Grace and otherwise. So what is music to you, or how did you kind of get into music?
Well, my parents, I guess your parents have a lot of influence on you, but my dad was a worship leader over at Full Gospel. My aunt is a worship leader over there. So I grew up just with worship playing all the time. I didn't even know, like, what country music was. I didn't know what polk music, you know. Remember, we had 8 tracks, and there was a song called My Salvation, and my parents said that I would just sing at the top of my lungs whenever that would be. So.
Ah.
Yep.
That'd be an interesting one to see if you could find from back in the day. And you've been a part of worship team here since Grace was in Beavertown Hall and yep. In the school in here.
So I've been fortunate enough to, nobody's kicked me off yet, but to be able to sing with all the worship leaders that we've had. So it's been interesting to see, you know, just the different twists that everybody has and the songs that they like. And But it's been good.
And as we were talking about this, you were able to realize that you have a unique quality upon this worship team.
Well, if we only count the people that have been on the list singing now, I'm the oldest one. There's plenty of you oldies out there that we can call back in, but you're just kind of resting, I guess.
Right.
The oldies but the goodies.
Yep. So you have the most experience here kind of on the team.
Thanks.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. I got to be careful here. Move along. So tell us about this song. What's the song? Who have you heard it by? And what does it kind of mean to you?
Well, it's called I Speak Jesus. And to be honest, I don't think I've even paid attention to who wrote it. I mean, I listen to it all the time, and I guess I haven't. Do you know who wrote it? I guess I'm putting
it
on the spot.
Well, it's arranged by.
Okay.
Katie, yes, I think that's true.
Okay. Yeah.
I think different groups have performed it.
Okay, yeah. So I guess I've lived long enough where when you start out, you think, okay, when I get my license, I'm going to arrive. When I graduate, I'm going to arrive. When I get married, I'm going to arrive. When I get my degree, I'm going to arrive. When I get my kids, I'm going to arrive. And I've arrived. Actually, I've come to this point and realized, like, you know, it's just Jesus. Yeah. Nothing else really matters. Yeah. When I die, it's all going to be left behind.
Yeah.
So.
But not for quite some time.
I hope not.
Yeah. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like the fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus from the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. For your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name. Shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Dear Lord, I just thank you just for who you are. I thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Lord, I thank you for the generations before me that have heeded the call of your voice, that they were able to pass that on. And Lord, that I pray that I can do the same. And I pray for our church family, Lord, that we would all answer the call and that we would pass that on. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give it up for Jess.
Part of our preparations for these is, we have to discuss how we're going to do this, and most of them I have to talk about. There's probably going to be some emotions involved, and it's fascinating. It's like we walk up here, and we can feel the presence of God, and yeah, it's kind of hard to get through them sometimes because, these songs are impactful, they're meaningful, they hit our hearts, and I think it's because of that awesome, awesome name of Jesus Christ. Well, before I get into the message here, I covered your prayers this week. Tyler Kress and myself are going to be leaving on Friday for a mission trip to Texas, Eagle Pass, Texas. It's right on the border. We're going to be working with Don Crabtree, who has a mission on both the state side and on the Mexico side. And it's a little bit of a scouting mission as well. Maybe there's some. They have a building project that they're working on. That maybe sometime in the winter we can send a larger crew down there, maybe in February, March, or something like that. So we covered your prayers for Tyler and I. Maybe he'll be doing most of the work. Don needs a welder, and that's his forte. So I'll try to stay out of trouble while I'm down there. But be praying for us today. And also the message today, probably going to be, one of those shorter ones, amazingly enough, if I can say that. Yep, thank you, guys. He was ready too quick for that. But one, it's the subject. We're going to just talk about Jesus. That's the title of Jesus. And as I said at the end of worship, there's not much you can really add to it. But also, I do have to keep it brief. I'm still on duty today to be the MC for the parade. My son is already down there with the marching band, and so I got to get down there at a certain time. So yeah, you'll get a short one for me for multiple duties. So we want to talk about Jesus today. I was reminiscing this last week. Next month, my wife and I will be celebrating 23 years. Of marriage, and thank you. You divert all that to my wife, who's not here this morning, because, good job, Em. She endured. But over those 23 years, I added it up. We've had 15 different vehicles. There was one Isuzu, one Subaru. We've had two Dodges, three Chevys, and eight Fords. Now, I still don't consider myself a Ford guy, but I've had that. I've had for 13 years at least an F-250 and an F-150. So I've got some experience with those, and I'd say they're okay. My favorite vehicle, I had a Mazda B4000. That's like a Ford Ranger. It's just slightly jacked up, oversized tires, forest green, had this awesome detail. It was a manual. It was perfect, a little extended cab, which I loved because nothing was automated, but I could just reach back and slide open that rear window. It was awesome. I loved that truck. And for less than a year, around 2004, we had a Subaru Forester. And that Subaru, we had it for less than a year, and in that time, I think we paid double in repairs than we did in car payments. I can say to you, don't get a Subaru. Don't buy a Subaru. I mean, it was junk, and we had issues with it almost right from the get-go. Is that a fair observation? I had a vehicle for 1 year, and I think they're horrible. Now, some of you probably drive Subarus, and you're like, no, they're dependable. They're good. But that's my opinion. And the Mazda, I had for 2 years, and it was great. It got into a little fender bender. We won't go into that story. But only had it for 2 years, and it was my favorite. Now, some of you might have a Mazda and go, no, trouble. So is that a fair observation? How long is long enough to have a fair observation of something? Jess, as we stated, and I allowed her to speak it, and she brought it up, it wasn't me, but she has a unique quality. As Luke 1:18 says, she's advanced in years. I'm going to pay for that one. She has some experience. Now, Luke 1:18, Zechariah says, my wife is well advanced in years. Okay, so I didn't put the well in there. Okay, come on. I just didn't put the well advanced, just advanced. But I was thinking about, as Jess was saying, with those that have came up, she's had the opportunity to sing with. So we've had seven, including Jess, that have been up here thus far in the series. So if we exclude Jess and the other six, and we take all their ages, including Trevor, who's not a young pup himself, if we take all those ages, average them up, the average age that has been up here is under 21 years old. And then there's, never mind. Now, the Bible says, don't despise someone because of their youth. And I'm not doing that with our guests or musicians that have been up here thus far. Never look down upon someone because of their age, because God can do all. I'm blessed by the love of Jesus that we see in this younger generation. And we don't look down upon that. But as I've considered the songs, the six songs that we've heard from the younger ones, they're songs about the ups and downs of life. They're songs about the struggles. The songs about trying to have faith. And I think we can all relate to that. And then we get to Jess. And I go, Jess, what song is your song? And she says, it's I Speak Jesus. Jesus. It's not really about the ups and downs, not about the struggles, not about the faith, or the hardships or the health or any different things. It's just about Jesus. Her perspective is, and she arrived at some point where she doesn't know when, that all you need is Jesus. And she can reflect upon her grandparents, which I knew. Her grandparents who loved Jesus. And her parents, who I know, who love and live devoted to Jesus. And she thinks about her in-laws who love and are devoted to Jesus. And now, she's able to look at not the past generations, but the future generations of her kids and her grandkids. And in her mind, there is one answer and only one answer. And that is Jesus Christ. Is that a fair observation? I've walked with Jesus for about 35 years. Pastor Arvid, it's been, what, 106 or so? You knew Methuselah, right? You guys were like tight in high school or something like that. What's your question? What's your struggle? The answer is Jesus. This is a simple message, is it not? All we need is Jesus. Now, to some of you, that doesn't make sense. You know, growing up as a little kid, if you were crabby or whatnot, the answer for mom and dad was to take a nap, right? Or eat some food, you know? It was like the same canned answer all the time. And sometimes we hear that in our struggles, in our walk. Well, you just need to rely upon Jesus. You need to trust in Jesus. And sometimes we roll our eyes and we scoff, right? You hear that, you just need Jesus, and sometimes you're like, yeah, that's not helping me right now. But that's especially true, I think, that's our response if we're in year one, like my Subaru relationship, or year three, or year eight. But after 30 years, after 50 years, after 60 years of walking with Jesus, what have you concluded? It's all about Jesus. It's what you need. So let's dig into some scriptures. And I do this with the worship team. I ask, you know, what does this song mean to you? And also, is there some scriptures that come to mind? And I was about on Monday, I was about to go a certain direction with this message, but then I was reminded of, and I went back to Jess's email, and she had four scriptures in there that I'm like, yeah, that preaches. I don't need to add much to it. So we're going to read four scriptures. I'm going to read them kind of back to back to back. But I want you to put on your lenses and see if you're seeing a theme from Jess's heart. See if you can find something, commonality in these, that is what is valuable to her heart, to her testimony. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, New King James Version. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. Lamentations 3:22 and 23, English Standard Version. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Hebrews 13:8, New King James. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you sensing kind of a theme in her heart? Deuteronomy 7:9. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commands. Two things that I'm hearing in these scriptures is time and faithfulness. Time and faithfulness. Now, in time, we read in 2 Thessalonians, who will establish? God who will establish. Let me ask you, do you feel established in the Lord today? Some of you are like, oh yeah, me and Him, we go way back. And some of you, thinking about the ups and downs and the struggles and the things you're going right now, you feel kind of like you're getting beaten by those waves. You're not quite anchored. You're throwing the anchor out, but it's not dragging. It's not holding you down. Some of us, we don't quite feel established. If you don't feel established in Jesus, keep working. Because He's still working on you. And you know how long that takes? It takes time. And some of us can reflect upon that, that God has worked and worked in our lives to establish us. It takes time. We read in Lamentations 3, His steadfast love, never ceasing. Now, never ceasing is a form of faithfulness. But think of that term, steadfast. How long does it take someone or something where you can have the opinion that it's steadfast? How many years of marriage does it take to know that the relationship is steadfast? 1 year, 5 years, 20, 40, 60. God is steadfast. But Jess knows this scripture because she's seen over her life that it is true, that God is steadfast. And it talks about God's love in Lamentations 3. And God's love is shown in Jesus. Jesus is always there. That is God's love. If you are in the middle of something, a struggle, a hardship, lean on someone who can say, Jesus is steadfast, because you need to hear that message. And you might go, I don't know how to apply it. I don't know how that fixes what I'm going through. But you need to hear that. You need to hear that word, that He is steadfast. We also read that Jesus doesn't change over time. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Sometimes we don't see that through our perspective. Because sometimes we have good days and sometimes we have bad days. Sometimes we look at Jesus on our bad days and go, where is He? What's He doing? Nothing. I'm all alone again. But He doesn't change. How long does it take for you to understand that Jesus doesn't change? 1 year? 5 years, 10 years, 30, 40, 60. He doesn't. Ask those around you that have walked with Jesus for a long time. He doesn't change. His promises are true every day. He is with you every day. He is steadfast. It takes time. It takes time to recognize. But I think also over time, we spend an early portion of our walk with Jesus trying to fit Jesus into our box so we can pull him out and apply him to whatever situations. It's like pixie dust to fix our situations that we're in. But over time, we all come to that conclusion of, yeah, I got this backwards. I can't fit Jesus in my box. I got to fit in his. I have to fit within Jesus. How long does that take? Oh, it takes time. It takes time to fit into Jesus. Some of y'all, you know, late winter, early spring, you pulled out the swimsuit and you're like, how am I going to fit into this in 2 months? It takes time. It takes time to fit our heart and mind into Jesus. But we have to know the outcome of that. He's good. He's faithful. He doesn't change. But let's dig into that final verse. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9. It says, therefore, know that the Lord your God, to know. I don't know a Subaru. I don't. 1 year. That doesn't give me a leg to stand on. I can't tell you, don't buy a Subaru. 1 year. That's not enough experience. It was bad experience, and sometimes that's all we have with God. We tried them. It didn't work. We walked away. 3 months. Half a year. Some of you have made commitments in your life, either now or in the past, where you're like, okay, I'm really going to press in. And then you don't. And you're like, well, God never did anything for me. I didn't know a Subaru. I didn't have enough time. I gave up because it got hard and it got expensive. You have to know God. You have to have a relationship with Jesus. And it takes time and it's expensive. It'll cost you stuff. And I'm not saying tithes and offering. I'm talking your heart, your mind, your experience, your life. Being fully devoted to Jesus, putting all you have into him, that's pretty expensive. But it's worth it. Therefore, know the Lord your God. He is God. Amen? He's God. It's a simple yet hard to grasp concept. He's God. There is no other God. It is him. Him alone. And I don't care if you don't believe it. I don't care if you don't understand it. He is God. I think Jess has learned that over her life. That God is who he says he is. He is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant. God keeps promises. He keeps his promises. God has made promises to me. He's spoken to me. And some of them I haven't seen fulfilled for years. When I was 18, God called me to pastoral ministry. Do you know how old I was when I became a pastor? 30. 12 years. 12 years. That's a little bit of time from God saying, this is what I have for you. It takes time to see his promises. I think I've mentioned this before a couple of years ago. I was up at my parents', and my sisters, both my sisters and their husbands and their family were there. All the nieces and nephews, all the grandkids, there's 15-ish of them. And one by one, my parents had a grandkid sit in a chair, and they spoke a word from the Lord over each kid. They spoke a blessing. They prayed a blessing, and they prayed over every single one of the grandkids. There wasn't a dry eye in the room. And I remember sitting there in the back, just looking at my dad sitting in his chair, and I made one of those prayers, one of those desire prayers, one of those real ones, motivated out of God and not ourselves. And I said, God, that's what I want. I want to be a grandpa surrounded by grandkids who all love Jesus, and I want to bless them. God, I want that. Gimme, gimme, gimme. I want that. And if I love him and I follow after him and I make Jesus first, I believe, I know he's going to fulfill that promise. But I ain't a grandpa yet. Hallelujah. But in time, I know and trust that God's going to fulfill that promise. Because that's what God does. But it takes time. If God has led you to step out in something, if God has given you maybe an area of ministry that you're to start, you're to do, if God has spoken into your marriage, something that God wants to work in your marriage, and you haven't seen fruit, keep trying. Keep giving your time. Keep giving your trust. Because God fulfills his covenant. God fulfills his promises. He does. Ask someone who has shiny hair, and they probably know that God has come through with promises. The faithful God who keeps promises, he keeps his covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. 1,000 generations. Now, Jess hasn't seen 1,000. She's seen 5 grandparents, parents, herself, her kids, and her grandkids. Someday, great-grandkids. But God's mercy, God's promises go for 1,000 generations. You have to trust God on that one. Because that is his promise. But notice that last line, and this is what we have to zero in on. With those who love him and keep his commandments. You see, I got work to do with Jesus. And so do you. We got work to do. If we want to see the fulfillment of his love and mercy, if we want to see his promises for thousands of generations, I got to love him and I have to obey him. And it starts today. It's like that day that you're like, okay, I'm gonna go on a diet in the last 3 days. And then you're out. That's too hard. Too much of a commitment. It is a commitment to God, to Jesus, that I'm going to be devoted to him. I'm going to love him, and I'm going to obey him. When he says, step out, I'm going to trust. I might get in trouble for this. I'll hear it all next week. I don't know if Tyler's like left Wisconsin. He probably hasn't traveled a lot, and he's going to the border on a mission trip and possibly into Mexico. He's stepping out. Mission work? I've been on mission trips. He hasn't. He's stepping out. Why? Because he trusts God. Maybe he's got a little faith that his pastor is not going to lead him astray. But that is what we must do. We must step out in our trust in God, our trust in Jesus. We got work to do. But myself and Arvid and Jess and many of you have been doing this for a long time. And it's the best decision we've ever made. To walk with Jesus. To trust in Jesus. To put him first in our life. First in our work. First in our finances. First in our marriages. First in our parenting. There are those that have walked for a long enough time where we can look back and go, yeah. All I need is Jesus. And if that is true for those that have walked for tens, twenties of years, it is true for you if you're beginning that walk today. So the conclusion is pretty simple. All you need is Jesus. Not quite a Beatles song, but all you need is Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I want to give opportunity first and foremost for those here to maybe make that commitment for the first time. For those joining us online, maybe someone needs to say for the first time, I choose Jesus above all other things. And Lord, that's what you tell us in your word. We just need to believe in Jesus. When we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, Lord, we cast aside our desires and our thoughts. Lord, when we ask Jesus for forgiveness, you are faithful and you forgive. And Lord, when we follow after Jesus, it means we repent. We turn from our old life and we turn towards, we follow after our new life, which is in Jesus Christ. So Lord, for those here, maybe for the first time, they can simply say, I choose Jesus today. And Lord, for the old timers here that have walked with him for a long time, I'm pretty sure all of them are saying the same thing. I choose Jesus. Because it's a daily choice. It's a moment-by-moment choice to put Jesus first. But those that have walked through this, walked in this relationship, have seen the fruit. And Lord, I'm hearing young Ryan Orff doing his talking, grandson to Jess. And I know she's praying, Lord, that you too will work in Ryan's life someday. That at some point, he chooses Jesus, because there is nothing greater. No car, no yacht, no house. Lord, no acclamation, no title is greater than knowing Jesus. And Lord, I didn't even get into it, but the name of the song was, I Speak Jesus. And Lord, that is a word of command, that is a word of boldness, that is a word of power, Lord, that we speak, and it is a word of blessing, Lord, that we speak Jesus over everything. We speak Jesus into lives and relationships. We speak Jesus over our kids and our grandkids and our spouses and our parents. Lord, I speak Jesus over this nation, that this nation will once again know Jesus. And Lord, I believe it. I believe you can change, if you can change my heart, you can change the heart of a nation. I believe it. But it requires me walking in a relationship with Jesus Christ and showing the world what it means to have life and abundant life. So we choose and we speak Jesus today. And as we are committed and we love and we obey Jesus, Lord, I believe we're able to sit back and enjoy the promises, the love, the mercy, and the goodness you have for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.